And so Christensen then, having sketched this portrait of God's goodness, he says, how can we say that it coheres with his sovereignty over evil if God is good? And he says, making sense of the matrix of divine goodness and divine sovereign power at the intersection where evil makes itself known is central to his task that he wants to do, what he calls his theodicy. Now, he says that free will theism has been found wanting, right? We saw that in early chapters. So what about reform theology and its greater good, you know, proposals? So that's what he wants to kind of pursue, or at least begin to pursue here.
Right? Exactly. So we cover God's sovereignty over evil. So the default orientation of most Christians, including some Reformed theologians, is to construe God's sovereignty with a great degree of caution to preserve his perfect goodness and unblemished righteousness. And if, to some extent, we can kind of see why that's wanting to be done. We want to be careful with who God is, who he reveals himself to be, and we don't want to just be flippant and say, God knows that abortion is happening, and he doesn't care because that's just how he wants it. No, there's you know, divine wills and talking about that, and his decrees and commands and punishing evil, but also utilizing bad things for good. And so that's kind of what we'll take a look at here. There is no reason to fault this impulse, as we see. No Christian, including the Calvinists, want to implicate God in evil. Good. Yeah. Yet to say that God is sovereign over all things cannot admit exceptions without equivocating on the terms themselves.
Right. So notice the issue here, right? God is in control, and yet evil happens. So how do you deal with that, right? If he is in control, and he's good, all good, how can evil happen? That's the issue. That we might say, tension between his power and his goodness, mm-hmm. right? If he's all powerful, then he can accomplish anything that he wants. And if he's all good, then all he wants is good. And so if put those together, and all we should have is good. Right? And yet we know that there's evil.
Right.
So how do we deal with that?
Yeah, and that's the issue. Even in the free will libertarian view, you know, God actualizes the best possible world. Well, he's still utilizing his knowledge to actualize a world in which he knows what free creatures will do or can do, and he actualizes that. But he still comes in, and for some odd reason, he makes changes to that. He enters into creation. Well, why didn't he just actualize a world where he didn't have to do that and be the blind watchmaker? And why does he have to nudge people or wipe them out or any of this?
Well, he can be the seeing watchmaker and produce a world that doesn't have that. Right. Yeah.
So we get a lot of issues with that, and we still see a need to explain God's not being an author of evil in that way. He still actualizes a world. So he actualized a world in which free creatures do evil. So how is he not a creator of evil in that capacity?
Yeah, exactly. But Christensen doesn't want us to back away from this, because this is what the scripture teaches, right? If God's sovereign decree, is all encompassing, right? It takes over all that happens in his creation, and his providence is meticulously administered, you know, as he has shown, then there's no shrinking away from the obvious. God must determine all evil to take place, and this is not something to be embarrassed about, he tells us, right? He quotes Jonathan Edwards. Edwards says that it is far better that the good and evil which happens in God's world should be ordered, regulated, bounded, and determined by the good pleasure of an infinitely wise being than by impersonal chance or the unpredictable and futile machinations of man's free will. Right? Yeah. It's a whole lot better for God to be in control than it is for chance or even our own free will. Mm-hmm. Right, that's what Edwards was getting at.
Yeah.
And he acknowledged that God is indeed in control, meticulously so.
Yeah. Right? And again, it seems odd that God would want to restrain himself within the incarnation. You can kind of see it, because the nature of man is what he's taking on. And so he's binding himself within that. He's humiliating himself, as the Westminster Confession says. But in the cosmic rule in heaven, in the divine decrees and creating the universe ex nihilo, it seems really odd that God needs to restrain himself for this idea of free will. And so, you know, I understand the idea that free will advocates will say, oh, so we're not robots, and so it's preserving that. But, you know, again, we don't see that within the Trinity. And mm-hmm. so can God, you know, can the Godhead then deflect some so that they have free will within the Godhead to not love each other? You know, you get in those weird headspaces, but. You know, here Christian's going to point to the biblical authors and say, "Listen, we shouldn't be ashamed. They weren't ashamed. Let's dig into it."
Yeah, and so that's what he's going to do next, because it's you know we might say, "Wow, he's getting close to heresy," because he's trying to call God evil, or at least the source, or, you know, controlling evil or something like that. Well, he says, you know, no, not necessarily.
Let's parse it out. Let's see what Scripture actually says.
Yeah.